Well, good morning, church family. It's great to see you here, and thank you so much for just being here at Living Hope, and thank you, our guests, for being here as well. I hope that you guys had a great Thanksgiving break and a day of being with family and friends or whatever you're doing, but hopefully it was a great day. Also, like to just because I got the mic, like to you may turn the battery off though, but I'd like to wish my daughter a happy 16th birthday today. And also like to wish my son Pierce a happy birthday, because I wasn't here when to be able to speak, but I also want to wish him happy birthday as well. I actually had twins for a little while. We did. We had twins for a little bit, but now we don't have twins anymore. One's 16 and one's 15. And so I'm grateful for you guys, and I'm grateful for all of us to be able to be here and to worship. I'm continuing our Thanksgiving mini-series. It's a three-week mini-series on the whole idea of why we should be thankful each and every single day. And I shared a message with you just a couple weeks ago on this one particular quote. It says, "Your life is a gift from God, but what you do with it, what you do with your life is your gift to God." And I hopefully that over this Thanksgiving time and over the past couple weeks, you've been kind of thinking about how you can make every single day what I talked about 2 weeks ago, almost a Thanksgiving card to other people. It's like this beautiful picture of what it looks like, and these inspirational words to encourage people's hearts and to get people thinking about, hopefully, the Lord and what God has done in your life. Oftentimes, we think about the things that God can do or should do for us. I don't know if in your prayer, if a lot of times when you begin to pray, when you begin to think about life, you just think, God, I need you to do this for me, and God, I want you to do this for me, and God, I hope that you did that for me, and I hope, God, you will do this. And we look at God of always needing to always do something for us, or should do something for us, depending on our heart and perspective at that time. But this message, I want to change a little bit of our thinking. I want us to basically to reset the button in our whole entire hearts and our attitude. Philippians 2:5 said to have that of the same attitude as Jesus Christ. I believe each day when Jesus looked at his new morning and when he looked at his Father, there was a reset button. There's a heart. There was an attitude of his heart that said, you know what? I want to live like this. I want to be about my Father's business. Even at 12 years old, he knew what his business was all about. Do we know what our business is about? Do we know what our job, what our assignment is today? And you may be saying, well, yeah, it's to go to school. It's to have a good job. It's to be able to get this house. It's to be able to be happy and joyful and to go to church and have a few things in my life. And that's it. And the deal is that some of those things are all great things. But the problem is that sometimes we leave God out of the picture and we focus all on all the other stuff. We don't want to take him with us on every occasion and everything that we do, especially with all of our decisions that we make. So we need to have a reset button with our attitude and begin framing our hearts about what can our gift be to the Lord. Not so much what he can do something. It's the same thing that we talk about in church all the time. I hope I get something out of this service. I hope I get something out of this church. I hope I get something out of this Bible lesson. Otherwise, I'm not going to go anymore. Oh, I never get anything from that preacher. Oh, I never get anything out of that church. We hear it all the time. We've been hearing this for years. And the question comes down is not what you're going to get out of it, but what are you going to give to it? What have you given to the church? What are you willing to do for God? What are you willing to pour into? It's not so much about getting out. You'll get out a whole lot more if you put in. It's always been that way. Matter of fact, in Malachi, it talks about people that are generous with their giving. He says, I'll open up the floodgates. You don't do that so you can have the floodgates. You do that Because your heart, because you absolutely love God so much, you fell in love with him. Why? Because of the old rugged cross of what he did for you. It's all about him. Everything is all about him. From the day that you were born, everything is about him. Everything should be about him. And that's why I want to reframe our and begin to reset the button and begin to look at our hearts about how we can actually be thanksgiving. I know that sounds weird. It's probably grammatically not correct, but that's okay. Because I want to be thanksgiving. I want to be thanksgiving with people that God has put in my life. All the people that I see at Walmart, or the people I see at the mall on a Black Friday, or the people that he puts in front of me at the church or at the school, I want to be thanksgiving. I want you to be a thanksgiving to people, to be the salt and the light for people to be able to see Christ in you. Does people say that? Has anyone ever said, I see something different about your life? And you can tell them that it's because of Christ. It's what he's doing in your life. It's because you love Christ. It's hard to do that when it's not very popular sometimes in the school. It's hard to do that when it's not very popular maybe in a family situation. It may be hard to do that out in the secular world. I get that. It's a dark world. Yet, one little light, one little flicker of light can change everything. It can bring you hope. There's something about a nightlight. You ever notice that? A nightlight can really change a lot in the middle of the night. It can help you from hitting things. It can help you from missing things, guys. Thank you. I just made that up. It can help a whole lot of things, but it gives you direction. It gives you hope. It gives you a place to go. You know that you can go and that you can come back because you can see that. It's a flicker of light, the salt and the light. And I said last week or 2 weeks ago, the first reason we should make our lives a Thanksgiving gift back to God is because of who Jesus is. I mentioned that it was because the Lord is great and worthy of our praise. I mentioned that he is a holy God and that there is no one like him. I mentioned that his love is unfailing. It endures forever. It's agape. It's unconditional. That there is no one that's going to love you more than God's going to love you. And you will never love anyone more than God can love that person. And even on your best day, spouse, boyfriends, girlfriends, you will never be loved more and better than the way that God loves you. Never. I can never love my wife better than God can love. And the closer I get with God and the closer she gets with God, guess what happens? The closer we get with each other. Right? You see that? That's how it works. And if you have someone that's going a different direction, there's going to be a problem. But you just keep loving God and you keep loving that person. And no matter what, they will see that. And hopefully, as prayer goes, that they will go closer and closer to God. And that's our hope. That's our prayer. I mentioned that he's also a just God. We love the fact that he's unconditional. We love the fact that he's a holy. He's powerful. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's the three omnis. We love all that. But sometimes we don't love the fact that he could be a just God. But we do love the fact that he's a moral God. We love that he's a fair God. We love that he's a righteous God. And he's truthful. He's unwavering. He's not manipulative. He's not doesn't show favoritism. We love that about God. I love the fact that he pursues me even when I go wrong. Even when I go astray, he still pursues me. I may not want that, but I like the fact that he still pursues me and doesn't leave me off and say, well, you now have gone too far. I'm now going this way. No, he continues to follow me even when I don't want him to. What a great hope that is for us. Why? Because his eyes are always on us. He loves us that much. He hates sin, but he loves us. And there's a big difference. So when you look at God and who he is, he's just downright awesome. He's amazing. He's everything that we could ever hope for. So God deserves and God desires our praises for him. He desires and he desires more than anything our just complete attention to him. It's easy to get distracted. Even when I pray, it's easy to get distracted and start thinking about other things. Even when we worship, I get it, man. Sometimes it's hard to stay focused and you're not thinking about other things that are going on. Trust me, he understands that. I understand that. Sometimes maybe this is the best sleep. I've told someone earlier, this could be the best sleep you may ever get. But that would be sad because our attention and our focus really is not even on me. The focus and the attention would completely be on God. It's all about him. So how do we get to be this Thanksgiving each and every day? What can our gift look like to him? Oftentimes, we need application. We need help being able to show us, what is it that I need to do then? What helps me get close to God? What is it that God wants from me? I want to tell you two things that God wants from you right now. If you want to make God smile, anyone would like to make God smile today? Half of us, that's great. Okay. Let me go back to the attention part. How many of us want to make God smile today? I hope so. If you want to know what God wants, if you want to know what he wants, there's two things that he really, really wants. The first thing is something that we've already just got through doing. Something that we can do every single day. And that is by singing with all of our hearts. I love being up front and listening to the people behind me and all throughout the church, just me being quiet and just listen to you guys just sing and shout and raise hands and not worry about other people. I don't care how you worship, if God is leading you to do something, but sing with all your hearts. And if you're not the greatest singer, sing with all your hearts. And if you're tone deaf, sing with all of your heart. It's okay. We're not going to be able to get into the bathroom and the shower where all of it sounds better than really what you are. It's not like me, okay? That's when I do the best singing. I know when no one else is around and I have all that with me. But I'm going to sing with all. It's awesome that we literally have one of the best praise bands anywhere. Amen. I mean, literally. Our praise team is amazing. I mean, they're all extremely, extremely gifted and talented and work extremely hard and putting everything to practice. And you know what they're doing? They're helping us get, and they're driving us to the throne of grace. They're driving us straight there, so there's no excuse not to get there. It would be us jumping out of the car for no apparent reason not to be driven to the throne of grace with this praise team. They're driving us there. Yet there are oftentimes there can be people in churches today that literally would just jump out of the car. There's one Christian pastor that puts singing about this, singing praises to the Lord. It's all about your tone. It's all about your tone. Have you ever just received a gift from somebody? You like spent a lot of time doing something. You know, I got a gift today. I did. I got this penny today. You may be thinking, well, big deal, it's a penny. But to me, this is a really, really cool penny. Because it's a wheat penny, and it's a 1955 wheat penny, okay? The year I was born, and but that's what I was told. 40 years later, but this is cool. And I told that person, oh, thanks, it's whatever. And I put it in my pocket. No, I didn't do that. I knew what it was when he gave it to me. And you know what? I said, thank you. Seriously, thank you. That's awesome. But what if I didn't? What if I was like, and I'm not going to throw it, but to make a cool story, but it, and I just thought, whatever. He'd be like, yeah, I'm never getting you anything ever again. Guys, that's called tone deaf. That's being tone deaf to the Lord. It's being tone deaf. It's not sincere. And some of us can be tone deaf singing. Some of us can be tone deaf in receiving gifts. But also in our spiritual walk, in our praises towards God, in our singing and giving to the Lord, we're just tone deaf and giving to God. Sometimes we can just be totally tone deaf giving to God. It has no impact. It has no heart. You know, you may be here, but you may be a million miles away. You ever been there to some place? You may be present, but you're a million miles away. And guess what? The Lord knows that. The Lord is looking at our hearts and saying, you know what? I don't really need you to fill up the pew. I need your heart. I need your heart. Because there are people at home right now worshiping and has been worshiping that cannot get out of bed. And if they could get out of bed, they would be laying here. They'd be right here with us worshiping. They're so excited. But there are people at home that are homebound that wish they could get out and be able to do things. But they're closer with the Lord than some of the people that are filling up the churches. And that's the truth. We can be present, but we're not present. Our motives can be all wrong. Jeremiah 17:10, it won't be up there. But I, the Lord, search all your hearts and examine your secret motives. I give all the people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. Guys, this is a dress rehearsal of what's going to happen later on. And if you don't like worshiping the Lord, you're probably not going to like heaven. I'm just going to tell you, okay? If this is not your thing, worshiping the Lord is not your thing, that you're probably not going to like it, because that's what we're going to be doing. We are going to be experiencing His holiness, for no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can even conceive what God has in store for those who are in Christ Jesus. I don't know what that is, because He just told us we don't know what that is, but I know that it's going to be absolutely amazing. Being able to experience His holiness. It's going to be beyond what you're experiencing. But guys, we can start dress rehearsal right now. We can start getting used to it. We can start getting excited about it. We can say, yeah, I've known you for this long because I've been worshiping you for this many times. I've been worshiping you over and over. I know exactly who you are. Worshiping His holiness is a top priority to Him. Psalms 147:7 says this. Watch these psalms. And if there's anyone that knows, I mean, this whole poetic, it's all about the songs and the choruses that we sing so awesome, so many times. Psalms 147 says, sing out your thanks to Him. Sing praises to our God. You hear it? Sing out your thanks to Him. Sing praises to our God. Psalms 98, sing a new song to the Lord, for He has done wonderful deeds. His right hand has won a mighty victory. A holy arm has shown His saving power. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Break out in praise and sing for joy. Sing your praises to the Lord with the harp and with the harp and the melodious song, with the trumpets and the sound of the ram's horn. Make a joyful symphony before the Lord and the King. Let the sea and everything in it shout His praise. Let the earth and all living things join in. One of the most popular psalms, singing out to the glory of Jesus Christ. This is what He wants, church. If you want to make Him smile, if you want to give Him a gift, the first thing that we have to be willing to do is sing with our hearts to Him, praise Him, and however you know how to do it. What's another thing that He wants from us? What's another gift? By thanking God in prayer. So we have singing and praises, and we have Him, and we're thanking Him in prayer. Church, when we approach God in prayer, I want you to understand something. I understand that people look at it in two different ways. First, people look at him as not only is Jehovah God, mentioned 7,000 times in the Bible. Jehovah God, 7,000 times in the Bible. If you want to know what God's name is, that is his name, Jehovah. But then we say, oh, well, I'm going to have to act different. I'm going to have to change up my prayer. I got to throw in a few more thous and a few more of this and a few more of that. And I got to be this way and I got to be that way. I get it, because you want to be holy. You want to be reverent with the Lord Almighty. You don't want to be flippant with him. So sometimes people can go to one extreme and be something that they're not. And then some people can go to another extreme and not take him serious, that you're talking to El Shaddai, Almighty God, Jehovah, the Alpha and the Omega. You need to understand who we're talking to, but we also need to understand who we're talking to. It's all about the tone. It's all about the attitude of our hearts. Over 170 different names that you may describe them. When you pray, how do you pray? Do you start off with something? There's times that we may call him the chief shepherd, or El Shaddai, God Almighty, or Wonderful Counselor, or Emmanuel, or the living God. 170 names that you may describe Jehovah, that he draws you closer to him. But we're simply talking to him. We're simply just talking to someone that knows us, that loves us, that understands us better than we even understand ourselves. We don't have to be fancy. We don't have to have a time limit. We don't have to be someone that we're not. We just have to praise him, and we got to thank him for who he is. Psalms 105:1 says this: give thanks to the Lord and do what? Pray to him. Give thanks to the Lord and pray to him. So I'd like to do that right now. Troy, we already prayed. I know. Troy, you always pray at the end. I know. But I think he's going to like this part. Okay? You are welcome, if you want, to come to the altar. And I'm not done with the sermon, by the way. But I'm going to stop, and we're going to pause, and we're going to do exactly the second most important thing, the greatest gift that we could offer him. We're going to do that right now. So if you'd like to come to the altar, you can. If you would like to just stay where you are, you're welcome to. If you'll bow your hearts and your heads. Father God, we come before you and we give you not only our praises, but right now we give you the gift of just thanking you. Thanking you so much for everything you have given us. We started off just thanking you, Lord, for the old rugged cross that Sal and the praise team sang. We thank you for what you did on the cross for us. And Lord, 2 weeks ago we talked about Psalms 145:3. It says, the Lord is great. He is worthy of our praise. No one can understand how great he is. So Lord, we just want to just pause and just tell you and thank you for your worthiness and for who you are. And Lord, as you said in Psalms 97:12, you said, give thanks to God as you remember how holy he is. So Lord, we want to stop and just pause and thank you for your holiness. And Lord, you mentioned in Psalms 107:8, give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love, for your agape, unconditional love. So we want to pause, Lord, and thank you for that. And Lord, you mentioned in Psalm 7:17, you say, I will thank the Lord because he is a just God. So Lord, we want to thank you for being just, for showing no favoritism, for just being so amazingly awesome to us, being so fair, being so unselfish, unwavering. And lastly, Lord, we want to thank you for Psalms 54:6. He says, I will thank the Lord because he is good. You are not only good, but you are great. And all together the church says, amen. Amen. So as I close this morning, I want to share with you the second reason why our lives should be a gift to God. I told you that it was because of who he is. But secondly, it's because of what God has done. It's because of what God has done in your life. And you know, it's funny, it's because when we think about the things he's done, there are people that actually say, well, God's never done anything for me. He's never done anything for me. Matter of fact, when I needed him the most, he wasn't there. When this was going on in my life, and when this person was sick, and when this person was going through this, or I was struggling in school, and I was trying to make friends, when I was trying to go through this, when I was going through this heartache, or this divorce, or this depression, when I was going through this, I never felt him. I never saw him. There was no one else. The church let me down. So I don't need God in my life. The world is filled with people like that. See, we praise God for who he is, but we thank God for what he has done. In Psalms 52:9, it says, I will thank you, God, forever for what you have done. I will thank you, God, forever of the things you've done in my life. See, with that heart, it's not only so unselfish, it's just selfish, but it's so untrue. It's just because it's perspective of what people have gone through. And trust me, what people go through and what I've been through and what you've been through, we can easily go there, and I can see that. But I want you to understand something, that God has never left your side. If he left heaven for you, I promise you he's been with you. Not everything is always going to go according to our plan and our will, and we won't always understand why things happen the way that they do, but he's got a plan. He has it figured out. And maybe on this side of heaven, we won't know all the answers. But I do know this. He wants us to become closer to him through whatever experience that we go through. So what can we thank God for? God created you, first of all. Isn't that a cool gift? Amen. That's the greatest. I mean, what a gift that is. He created you. If I don't have my family, if I don't have my friends, if I didn't know you, that would be awful. But the fact that God created you, I get to know you, what a gift that is. I get to have my kids, what a gift. I get to have my wife, I get to have my family, my parents and my brothers and sisters. I get to have you as friends, what a gift that is. And the same probably goes for you. Do you look at your family and say, what a gift? You look at your friends and say, what a gift. Psalms 148:5 says this, "Let all things praise the name of the Lord because we were created at his command." Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, and he created them." You were created by God Almighty. You were knitted together in your mother's womb, piece by piece by piece by piece, and you are perfect. You are perfectly made by him. He loves you that much. Not only did he create you, but he offers you the greatest gift in the world. He offers you salvation for you to be able to live eternity with him. Some of us on this side of heaven, we're thinking, I'll worry about that when I'm 85. I'll worry about that when I'm on my deathbed. I'll worry about that when I got kids and I'll take them into Sunday school. That's a long time, possibly. Think about all the things that God can do in your life right now. My 11th grade year, God transformed my heart and I've never looked back. If I liked my old life, I would have stuck with it. My old life was nothing compared to what my life that he's blessed me with. Because I'll always ask the people, what do you want out of your old life? What are you getting out of it? Is it really working out that well for you? Let me show you a better way. Let me show you a different way. Psalms 19:14 says, "I praise you and rejoice because you saved me." The third thing is that we should be grateful because he answers our prayers all the time. Even the ones before we pray, he is interceding on our behalf. Romans 8:34 says this, "Jesus is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us." You know what this word intercession means? It means that literally, I am pleading on your behalf. Isn't that awesome? That you have Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, that's interceding on your behalf. And everything, the way that you live your life right now, your heart, your motives, everything, the way that you're doing, literally goes sifting straight up to the throne of grace, and he is interceding right there on your behalf and saying, "Yeah, I know him. I know him. I know her. I know him. I know her. Man, this person's been working. Absolutely. Because what we don't want is this part. Depart from me. I never knew you. I have no idea who you are." What else can we thank him for? What has he done for you? He gives you life, direction, purpose, and a plan. Psalm 16:7 says, "I praise the Lord because he guides me." Proverbs 3:6, "Acknowledge me and I will direct your paths." And the last thing that we can thank him for is the fact of the old Roman rugged cross that was placed upon Jesus Christ, that he came down here. He lived for 33 years. He lived a life that was holy and perfect and said, "I am going to give up my life for you. I am going to go through the worst possible death that anyone could go through. I will stand upon this cross. I will literally been whipped and crowned. I will be pierced in my side. I will suffocate up and down until I cannot do it no more. And I will look at them all and say, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing.'" Jesus Christ came. Could you imagine if somebody could wipe out all your student loans, all your debt right now, your house mortgage, your credit cards, your car payments? I mean, you have nothing. Could you imagine if somebody did that? Multiply that by about 500 gazillion. That's what he's done for us. He wiped out every single sin, your past, your present, and your future for those. And the judge takes off the robe. He comes over here. He moves you to the side. And he says, I'll take it. I'll pay the price. I'll pay the price. I'll take on the debt. A just God that gave up everything for us. So why should we give him our life? It's because of who he is. It's because of what he's done. So what could you do for him? Sing praises to him. Stop and pray to him. And the third thing, as I close, do not walk out of here and not receive him. If you want to give him a gift, accept his son, Jesus Christ, as your personal Lord and Savior. That's all he ever asked for. Let's pray. Father, as we come to a time of invitation, man, we just want to sing praises to you. We want to lift you up, and we want to thank you. We want to thank you for all the things that we mentioned, all the things that we took time to pause for. You are everything to me. And I pray that, God, that each person feels the exact same way. I know the greatest gift that you gave was you giving up your life for us. So the greatest gift that we could give back to you is giving our life back to you. So this is your time that we offer this gift to you. For we are going to be Thanksgiving. We are going to be Thanksgiving today. We love you, and it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.